My guest says your greatest battles of darkness are your greatest places of inheritance. It's time to change your mindset. It's time to change your life. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Corey Russell, was raised in a Christian home, but like most Christians, did not know God experientially. So at 13, he got into drugs and sex. But in your college parking lot, something amazing happened. What happened?
It's true, Sid. I went dark into this world throughout my teenage years, the drugs, the sex, all the lifestyle. And I go off to college, and yet I had a praying mom. I had a praying mom. My best friend had a praying mom, and they were storming the gates of heaven.
Did you know they were praying for you?
No, I didn't know. We didn't know. We were just so lost in our world. We didn't have a clue what they were doing. And yet my friend went through a season where he was weird, and it ended up leading to his salvation. And so he, 2 weeks later, shows up to college where I was at, and he takes me to lunch, and he shares with me that for several months, the spirit realm was opened up to him. He was seeing angels, demons, seeing what was controlling us. And he said that on the very last night that we were together, the voice of God broke in and said, Satan's raising up an army, but I'm raising up an army too. And he started preaching to me saying, Corey, you need to give your life to Jesus. Hell is real. You need to give your life to Jesus. And I said, shut up and take me back to school. And I was mad at him. And he takes me back to the school, pulls into the parking lot. And right before I get out of the van, I felt a presence I had never felt before in my whole life. Yeah, I later found out it's the Holy Spirit as I felt him move from the right of my body to my left, and I began to shake violently like I was having a seizure.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. As you're sharing this, I'm starting to shake. Go ahead.
I do. Every time I tell it, I feel the presence of God.
I do, too, when you're talking.
He pulled in the back of the parking lot, and he started praying. And as he started praying, I knew I had to get out the name Jesus. But all I could get out was G's. And so I kept trying to say his name, and I went,
G-. Why couldn't you get it out?
There was like literally like a demonic hold around my throat. I later found that out. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't say his name. Hmm. And he's in my ear screaming, say it, say it. I said, I'm trying. I'm trying. And finally, I remember taking a deep breath, and with all the power inside of me, I just screamed the name, Jesus. And right when I screamed his name, the hold broke off of my throat. God came and breathed into my mouth. And I kept saying, I've got air, I've got air, I've got air. And after about a minute, I heard the voice of God for the first time as he said, Corey, get out of the van, get on the pavement, and give me your life, your mind. And so in the middle of a college parking lot with kids running everywhere, I screamed, Jesus Christ, I give you my life, I'm yours. And that moment I passed from death to life, delivered of all the drugs, the alcohol, and the perversion, and hit by the power of God.
Okay, you and your body are now normal.
That's right.
Normal defined by the Bible, not normal defined by the world. You're in college. Did you have an impact on any other students?
What we begin to see happen is within a month, I had a drug ring of friends that began to have encounters like mine. I end up leading my little brother to the Lord who was still in the high school. And over the next 6 months, we would see half the high school come to Jesus.
Wow.
We would see a local church begin to host the move of God as we would have 5 meetings a week till 3 in the morning. And I fell in love with the presence of God, and we saw God touch a small community in Northwest Arkansas that people's lives are still changed to this day.
Now, there's someone that a lot of people have not heard of, but he became very influential in your life.
Yes.
His name was, because he's in heaven now, Daniel Nash. Tell me about him.
Yeah, so I ended up marrying my wife in 98, had our first daughter in 99, our second in 2003, and our third in 2010. And the Lord was talking to us about a son that was coming. And on June 26, 2012, my son was born, and we named him Josiah Nash Russell, and we named him after Daniel Nash. Daniel Nash was an intercessor with Charles Finney during the Second Great Awakening. This man, many people know the name Charles Finney, but many don't know so much about Daniel Nash, and him and another man would forerun Charles Finney's revival campaigns, and that they would rent a basement for around 25 cents a week. And they would literally, Leonard Ravenhill interviewed a woman that hosted him in her home. And she said she would listen down there as they would begin to cry and groan and travail for the breakthrough of God to come into that region. They would move in such intercession. They understood a principle, Sid, that if you win the battle in the heavenlies, then the word of God will go forth in power. And they saw this. Charles Finney himself would always say that Daniel Nash would show up on the first night of a revival campaign, and he would say this. All he would say is, "The Lord has come." And Finney said, "I never knew a time he was wrong." Several months after Daniel Nash died, Charles Finney's itinerant revival stopped in their intensity.
Wow.
Finney attributed so much of the success of his revival. I mean, we're talking about conservatively.
How successful was Finney's revival?
In an 8-week revival in upstate New York, they saw 500,000 confirmed new converts. 500,000.
Do you know, Billy Graham was said, "What is your biggest regret?" He said, "I made converts and not disciples."
Yes.
What happened with Nash's people?
They found such a depth and a character. They say 80% of the converts of Finney's revival stood the test of time. They went on to grow deeper in the Word, grow deeper in prayer, and live lives of holiness. And I think that was the impact. Finney understood the connection between prayer and evangelism, and that brings a depth. And then they would follow it up with discipleship and all of those things.
Okay. After being a believer, after these wonderful things, he went through a very dark season, he and his wife in his life. Tell me about that, Corey.
Yes, so as I was saying, we named our son Josiah Nash, and we called him Nash. Hmm. And on March 16, 2013, I was in London, England, ministering. I was preaching the gospel over there, and on the second night, I come out of the ministry time. Someone gives me a phone, and I'm thinking that someone wants me to pray for a relative of a friend of theirs in the ministry time. And I take the phone, and I hear my wife saying that our son is dead. Our son passed away. She laid him down for a nap, and he didn't wake up from his nap. A horrible virus had come through our family, and his heart wasn't able to navigate it. And I received the nightmare of calls at a very dark time, and then I would fly back to Arkansas, and we would go on a journey that's lasted the last 10 years.
Did you get bitter or better as a result?
I would say I got better. I would say that I took my pain, I took my confusion, and I took my questions, and I threw them at the feet of Jesus. And I went deep into Him, and I went deep into the Word, and the Lord began to release 5 psalms that were, I would say, life rafts to me and my family to be able to navigate those years after our son's death.
Then you had an encounter with God in 2014 and a dream from a very trusted prophetic voice.
Yes.
Tell me briefly about that.
One of the psalms was Psalm 2. And Psalm 2 is when the devil is raging over Jesus' inheritance. And I felt the devil's rage over my family. I felt the devil's rage over my wife, over my children, and over our future, and wondering, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? And it was in a season of praying Psalm 2 in 2014 and that I was asking God for my inheritance. I was saying, God, would you bring forth generations out of this moment? And it was in that season that a prophetic friend of mine, Jeremiah Johnson, sent me a dream. And he said that in the dream, the church was under siege. Cultural wars were increasing, and we were like in medieval times. Everyone ran to the city square, and we realized we don't know how to pray in these days. We don't know how to pray in these days. And in the dream, I walk in smiling, and I go, these are the days we've been waiting on. These are the days we've been waiting on. And in the dream, he began to prophesy over me. And he said, Corey, for every one voice of awakening, I'm going to raise up 7 voices of intercession. For every one voice of awakening, I'm going to raise up 7 voices of intercession. And then he said this, I've given Lou Engle the Nazarites, but I'm giving you the Nasherites. And the Nasherites will be a hidden army of intercessors.
I never heard the term Nasherites. Had you?
Never. I had never heard it. And he says, these Nasherites will be hidden intercessors. They may not be known in the eyes of men, but they're going to be famous in heaven. And I'm going to hear their prayers, and I'm going to send revival to their families, revival to their churches, and revival to their nations.
How many Nasherites are you entrusted to raise up?
Right before this dream, I had had a lunch with Reinhard Bonnke. And after you get around someone like that, your faith gets big. And after I got that dream, I said, God, give me 100 million Nasherites for global revival, the return of the Lord, and the salvation of Israel. I said, Lord, I will spend the rest of my day awakening this army of intercessors to take their stand in the earth.
When we return, Corey is going to talk about the amazing, and I say amazing, connection between the Nasherites and Israel. And every time he teaches on this subject, the supernatural takes place. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Are your prayers stuck in the mud, or do they seem to bounce back unanswered when they hit heaven's ceiling? Are social media distractions and cultural wars getting you down? You may need a supernatural jumpstart in your prayer life. Corey Russell answered God's invitation to climb above it all and enter into the throne room of God, and you can too. Listen to Corey's exclusive new audio CD, Throne Room Prayers, and you will experience deeper intimacy with God by learning to pray from inside God's throne room. Find fresh perspective from heaven that will renew you and transform your life. Here's Corey to tell you more.
It is absolutely critical that the church learns how to ascend to the throne room. All throughout the scripture, there's a constant call to lift our eyes. Several times Jesus himself lifted his eyes, and it's in the throne room that there's perspective. In the throne room, there's peace. And in the throne room, there's power. It's in that place that you have authority over the works of the darkness, over the works of the evil one, and you carry the word of God in power.
And Corey's new power-packed digital book, Nasherites, Intercessors for Revival and the Return of the Lord, will help you understand the role of the Nasherite intercessor and how you can take part in the prophetic storyline of Israel and the return of the Messiah. Realize that the very places where you fight the hardest personal battles are the very places where God activates your unique inheritance. Be gripped by a spirit of prayer that invites revival and initiates spiritual breakthroughs in your family, your church, and where you live. Corey Russell's exclusive new mini book, Building a Powerful Prayer Life, offers power-packed practical guidance as you discover ancient spiritual disciplines that open doorways to divine encounters. Learn the secret of incorporating God's own words into your prayers and so much more. To get Corey Russell's complete prayer victory package, including Corey's new digital download, Nasherites, Intercessors for Revival and the Return of the Lord, plus his exclusive new Throne Room Prayers audio CD, just call or go online at sidroth.org/9975 to make your donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Most believers don't know about the throne room and how important it is to keep our eyes focused on the throne room. Corey, explain.
Yeah, it was in Psalm 2 to where I was seeing the warfare. I was seeing the warfare around my family, and I didn't know how to pray. I felt the chaos, confusion, and rage of the evil one. And yet it's in Psalm 2, verse 4. The Father is looking at the very same situation, and it says, He who sits in the heavens laughs. And the Lord began to teach me, Corey, I want to bring you up to the throne room in the heavens to get my divine perspective over the rage of the evil one. I want to fill you with my confidence that no matter how much the devil is raging, how much confusion and chaos is coming against your family, I want you to know it's not going to stand. I want to teach you how to sit with me, to see as I see, and to speak as I speak over the storms into seeing peace come to your family. Do you know several times, three times in the Gospels, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven? He did it before he fed the 5,000. He did it before he raised Lazarus from the dead. And he did it before he prayed John 17. Jesus ascended to the throne. And I find so many believers live victim to the chaos, confusion, anxiety, and fear of our families, our circumstances, and the world around us. And yet the biblical command, Paul tells us in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. This is the call that he gives us to. We wage the battle from the throne room. That's how we do it as we come up there. And the Bible talks about the throne room all the way through. And we need, there's that lie out there. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That's an absolute lie. We're no earthly good to anyone unless we become heavenly minded. And we take the resource and the power and the presence of the throne room of God and release it, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Now, when you release this, when you teach on this, what normally happens to the group you're teaching?
What I will see happen often is oppression, depression, heaviness, anxiety, torment get broken off of people's minds and souls, and I see deliverance come. I see literal oppression where people are weighed down, gripped with anxiety over the future. I see a supernatural peace come over them. I see a supernatural presence, and I see joy come back to them because there's joy, peace, and righteousness in the throne room. And that's what touches people, and I see them walk in freedom. It's amazing.
I'm going to have you teach on this in a moment, but tell us about your wife's two encounters in 2021.
So I got the Nasherite word in 2014, but honestly, my wife was still frozen in trauma and in pain due to the loss of our son. And I just preached it in faith, saying, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? We're going to make it. We're going to make it. And in 2021, we were in a meeting in Dallas, and over the course of a weekend, the Lord began to release the fire of God upon my wife.
What's the fire of God?
She began to feel heat melting her cold heart. She literally began to feel where there was coldness, numbness, and dullness. She started feeling again. She started hearing God again. Matter of fact, the second night of this little weekend, she's right before she goes to sleep, she hears a phrase from the Lord. And the phrase was this, do you love me? That's a phrase that Jesus asked Peter in John 21. And it speaks about Peter's restoration into ministry after failure. And Dana would heard it and she said, you know, Jesus, I love you. And she knew that was an invitation. The very next morning, we were in a meeting. It was a Sunday morning, and that specific morning, it was February 21st, 2021, Jews, both secular and religious Jews from around the world, were crying out for the Messiah to come. And Lou Engle was in our meeting that morning, ironically. And he stood up there and he said, it's time for the church to fill the vacuum that while Jews from around the world are asking for Messiah to come, we would ask for the revelation of Yeshua as Messiah. And he got up there and began to pray. And as he prayed, I saw my wife immediately fall to the ground. She fell right to the ground and began to travail, began to weep and cry and pray with loud cries and prayers. And for the next 4 hours, she didn't move. She didn't move as she was weeping. And when 4 hours later, when I pulled her back up and she looked at me.
Did you stay there for 4 hours watching her on the floor?
I was lost in it too. I was sitting right next to her. Yes. She was gone. It was like 2 o'clock and I dragged her out of the church. And I said, honey, what'd you see? She said, I see the Nasherite army, Corey. I'm seeing it. Ooh. And I need you to know this, Corey. It's an Isaiah 62 army. Set watchmen on the walls that God's going to set across the earth for the salvation of Israel.
Why is Israel so important?
because God is a covenant-keeping God. God has a plan for redemption for the whole world. And He has chosen a man by the name of Abraham who brought forth the nation of Israel. And it's through Israel that light is going to come to all the nations of the earth. Why is Israel important? Because Jesus has chosen one plot of ground, one piece of real estate in the whole earth that He has made His eternal home. He has chosen that plot of land from where He's going to rule forever. And Israel's calling is to be a light to the nations and is to be a priestly nation to all the other nations of the earth. And the Lord is awakening an intercessory army in the church to contend for Israel's destiny.
I'm curious. Since Hitler and what happened to the Jews, 6 million died.
Yes.
I haven't seen such a rear up of anti-Semitism, not just in the United States, but the whole world.
Yes.
Is turning rapidly anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. Do you have any ideas to why?
Because the devil is raging. He knows his time is short. And he's doing everything he can. Jesus told us this in Matthew 23, 37. He's looking at the Jewish religious leaders and he says, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And the devil's rage is to destroy the very people that will welcome Jesus back as their Messiah. So all of the devil's rage, what we're seeing happen right now in the Middle East and across the world is the rage of Satan to abort the plan of God. But we know it's not going to happen.
I want you to say a two-word prayer that I said over 50 years ago that changed my life. It's not a Billy Graham special, although I'm a fan of Billy Graham's. I want you to say out loud, "Jesus, help." Say it now. Studio audience.
Jesus, help.
Audience at home. Jesus, help. Help, Jesus. I want you to pray over the viewers in our studio audience right now. Look into the camera and pray what God's showing you to pray.
I pray right now for every person that's walking through chaos, confusion, and the rage of Satan against their families, against their marriages, against their children, and against their lives. Father, I pray right now that you would bring everyone listening at the sound of my voice up to the throne room. I pray right now a holy invitation out of Revelation 4. Come up here. I want to show you things. I break off every spirit of fear, anxiety, and torment. Every lying spirit, tormenting spirit, I break your power. And I say, come up to the throne. And Father, I pray right now for every one of my viewers, every one of these viewers, I pray, release your heart and the revelation of your zeal for Israel and Jerusalem. God, I pray that you would remove every destructive heresy that has replaced us for Israel. And I pray that you would release light to the mind and light to the heart concerning your heart for your people. I pray, Lord, that you would break in with your power right now. I pray for the release of the glory of God in living rooms, the release of the glory of God in bedrooms. And I pray that you would break off all blindness, break off all arrogance, and release your light in the name of Jesus.
While Corey was praying, I saw wrists. Wrists. I don't know whether it's tendons, but if you have anything wrong, any pain in your wrist, start moving it now. You're healed in Yeshua's name. And I'm also hearing hips. Someone's hip is being healed. And backs, it's pain of all kind. Backs. If you have a backache, stand up and bend over. Corey, are you hearing anything?
Yes. I just see the tenderizing of God coming to hearts right now. In the same way the scales fell off of Saul of Tarsus's eyes, I see scales falling off of people's eyes. I see lost coming to salvation in Jesus right now. And I see even believers that have not known God's heart for Israel, revelation is breaking in right now upon them.
If you will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, if you will pray for the completeness of Jerusalem, you shall have heart peace that no man can ever take from you. In Yeshua's name, I seal this. Amen.